Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Cafe Esoterica Radio on Blog Talk Radio. Come on in. Pull up a cozy chair and listen to wonderment as we bring you the most enlightened guests on web radio. I am your hostess with the mostest, Sean Cohen. That's me. A psychic medium, metaphysician, author, and teacher of esoteric knowledge for 37 years now and counting, which is why I am so proud and honored to bring you the authors and practitioners in the know from the Mind, Body, and Spirit Compendium of Life, as well as experts in divination, holistic healing, tarot, astrology, and even the odd rock star. Just for your edification and enlightenment. We've been on hiatus, but we're back in the saddle again and raring to go for our fourth season of Cafe Esoterica Radio, broadcasting to you live every Thursday from 7 to 8:30 p.m. UK time, 2 to 3:30 p.m. EST, and 11 a.m. to 12:30 p.m. PDT. That's in America. And worldwide, so find your time zone and dive in. Want to be part of the show? Please do. Call in on our new number, 858-956-3204. Chat in our chat room, which is located at the end of the landing page on Blog Talk Radio. If you don't see it there, just refresh your page and it will appear. Can't catch us live? Not to worry. You can find us on so many different formats, TuneIn, Podbean, Stitcher. I'm broadcasting live as well on YouTube. Just put in the search Cafe Esoterica Radio and you'll see me there broadcasting. And now we're also on Spotify. So grab your latte, your cappuccino, or perhaps a herbal tea, and your best friend. Get cozy on the couch and trip the light fantastic with us once more. And as always, your table is reserved. So come on in. Come on in. That's the way we like it. It's a little bit better, I hope. Now, Francesca, who was in the waiting room. Hello, Crystal Bowl, Gretna. Hello, how are you? Good afternoon. I see you in the chat room. I'm glad to hear the chat room's working. Everything is always a juggling act here at Blog Talk Radio. The last 2 weeks, so we've just launched. You know, I've been away. I've had a bit of a hiatus, and I came back thinking, okay, I've covered every possibility. And what happened? The audio was really bad on my end. Not my guests, thank God. You could hear them loud and clear and beautifully. But I've bought a brand new laptop. I've so far it's been crazy lately in the chat. Okay, good. That's Crystal Bowl Gretna talking. Thank you. And the moral of the story is I am trying my best, folks, my very, very best to get this sorted. Now, I went to Microsoft. I went to Asus, which is this brand new computer I got, and this laptop. And I, you know, twiddled and tweaked every audio microphone thingy. I even was going to buy a separate microphone. When you're broadcasting on Blog Talk Radio and YouTube at the same time, very difficult to put in a microphone in one because the other won't be heard. I mean, with headphones, right? So I wanted to get a USB microphone that would pick up for both shows, right? And I reserved it and everything else, and they were all out, and they didn't have any in any store in London. It's just like, oh my God, you know? So the moral of the story is we're just going to keep trying. That's all you can do in life anyway. You know, sometimes it's really easy and you go with the flow. And sometimes it's so hard to walk up the hill backwards. I don't know about you, but I am an astrologer. I am aware of some really crazy aspects going on right now. We are in between two eclipses. So we just had an eclipse in Cancer,
And we are coming up to another big eclipse in Capricorn, its opposite, on the 17th of July. And, you know, I'm Capricorn rising, so I feel that. That affects me, you know. And we're also Mercury retrograde. Now, some people say, oh, God, you shouldn't do this and you shouldn't do that on a Mercury retrograde. We've had many astrologers on the show over the past 3 years. And we're going to have more. Next week, I have the wonderful Isaac George. He calls himself a... What does he call himself? A rebel astrologer. So let's see what he has to say about all this madness. It's perfect timing. You might notice from the first show, if you could hear it properly, that, and I'm sure you could, maybe you couldn't hear my voice. It sounded like a little bit underwater. I don't know. But anyway, hopefully this is fixed now. I'll ask Francesca when I bring her up, but we'll bring her up in a minute. My guest today is the lovely Francesca Cassini, who has created the Silver Tent for women of a certain age, 50 and over. Some say 60 and over, but she'll tell us, 50, 60 and over. Her website is www, and I'll put it in the chat room, and I'll put it in the Blog Talk Radio, in the, YouTube chat room. Still kind of like you're underwater, but not bad. Okay, Crystal Ball Gretna, thank you for telling me that. I just know why that is. Speakers are at 85%. Okay, I'm going to come up a little bit. Is that better? You hear the twick there, the little twick when you know, it goes, makes music when you move the dial up. Look, I am great at metaphysics. I'm lousy at the technical stuff. You know, in my last show, which was 20 years ago, the Psychic Cafe, groundbreaking blog radio. They didn't even have Blog Talk Radio. Groundbreaking radio on the web. And a big shout out to Maddie down in Florida. It was her who gave me the job, and I, you know, we're friends, and I love her. She's a wonderful woman. She's way ahead of her time doing web radio in, you know, the 2000. And so I did that show with the lovely Ian Chatham. And Ian is a very well sought after sound engineer in London. And I need Ian back. Basically, he's got to do all that. I can't bloody do it without him. But anyway, I'm not helpless, just frustrated. So here we go. Let's see. Now, I was talking about Francesca. Let me do a little show news, and then we'll bring up the lovely Francesca, who I'm sure is going to rock your world with her amazing, beautiful story. She's had quite a life, and I only have people on who have these kind of amazing lives, and that's my goal, to bring enlightenment, education, everything to do with metaphysics, esoteric knowledge, holistic healing, and divination too. Why not? That's my field as well. I love it. So is there anything else? So Peter Anthony, I want to thank Peter, who was he was my guest last week. Peter is an amazing, he actually died and went to heaven, and he had a profound experience. That's a great show, even though my voice is a little underwaterish. You can hear Peter beautifully, and it's well worth checking out. His website is all the W's, theaccidentalprophet.com. He came back from his death very, very ill. It took him a long time to recover, but boy, when he recovered, he was as psychic as could be. And numerology was the thing that really came up for him. And you know, numerology is very profound, and it has a lot of wisdom in it, and it is the language of really the universe, numbers. Pythagoras said the whole world is built, the universe is built on numbers. So very good show if you want to go back and listen. And you heard in the intro that we are on Spotify now. How cool is that? So here's how you find us on Spotify if you don't know. You go to Spotify, you sign in, and you just go to, in the search, you put podcast. And when you put podcast, you'll see a load of different ones come up. And then you just type in, oh, you know, erase that and go back and put Cafe Esoterica Radio, and you'll see all our shows for the last 3 years, including these that are coming up now. And Podbean, Stitcher also have them. So you can take us with you if you're jogging, if you're out and about, if you're in the car and you get Spotify, hey, you can listen to us. Would you like to call into the show today? This is the last thing I'll say before I bring up my guest and introduce her. We have a new Blog Talk Radio phone number. If you're a guest, a frequent listener to the show, you'll notice the number's changed. I have it in the intro. So here it is again. If you would like to talk to Francesca Cassini about all the things we're going to discuss that have to do with our baby boomer group really growing older. Let's be honest, you know, somebody's got to talk about it. And all the things that come up with that, and her shamanism and the book she's written, and she's done a lot of traveling. She's a very spiritual woman. Any of these things you want to talk about, please do call in. The number is, now I'm in London, Francesca's in Wales, but the show is literally taking place via New York and San Diego. Go figure that out. So if you're in America, you don't need to dial this code, which is 001. Dial that if you're outside of America. And if you're inside America and everyone else, you dial 858-956-3204. So I'll repeat that, 858-956-3204. Right, now, I am going to introduce this wonderful guest of mine. I'm just going to say hi again here, and we're on YouTube Live. If you want to see me, just go to YouTube and put in Cafe Esoterica Radio, and you will see me. Here I am. Now, let me go back. Here's Francesca. Let me just talk about who she is and what why she's on the show. And this is a direct quote from her. She has a couple websites, actually. Hold on 1 second. Let me just make sure I have all my notes here. Okay. Francesca is an inspirational storyteller using both real life and fictional stories to illustrate that when you follow your heart, come what may, you tap into the collaborative essence of nature and nothing is impossible. I could stop right there. That's a great thought, but I'm going to keep going. An intuitive mentor for over 20 years, she has also published The Changing Times magazine, been launch editor of Conscious Traveler Digital Magazine, and was a founding member of a conscious living social network. Her first novel uses the theme of love being the vital force which brings our imagination to life. The initial book in a trilogy of The Resurrection of the Feminine. In October 2016, she launched the Silver Tent community for women over 50 to regain their wild, wonderful, and wise elder status, enabling the reemergence of the female elder in Western society. She believes that elder women are a powerful, untapped resource, and when we recognize our wisdom and work together, we will enable great change in the world today. About her name, she says, people often ask me about my name. How did I end up being called Francesca Cassini without an ounce of Italian blood? The story is my paternal grandfather, as a Jew, walked out of Russia during the pogroms and made his way to Italy. You can't sing opera with a name like Kaczynski. said Caruso, after teaching him to sing. So my grandfather changed his name to Cassini, promptly came to the UK and sang on the vaudeville stage instead. She now lives on a wild Welsh hillside, the ancestral land of her mother, where she feels most at home. You can find her at www.francescacassini.com. And also she has a group on Facebook. So go to facebook.com/group/the silver tent. Hello, Francesca. Welcome to Cafe Esoterica Radio.
Oh, thank you so much, Sean, for inviting me. I'm absolutely delighted to be here. And I really hope I can live up to how you describe me.
Well, I described you as who you are. You've already lived up to it. Well, this is going to be an interesting story, right? First of all, I already told you that my own grandfather was also Jewish from Russia and escaped the pogroms and ended up in America, in Pittsburgh, you know, and that's where my father was born. So it's really interesting that we have this shared history.
It's amazing, isn't it?
I know, and I was just on Facebook just the other day because I took my daughter to see, just throwing in this story quickly, I took my daughter to see Fiddler on the Roof, which of course, you know, I saw it when I was 13 or 12, and I loved it in America, in Pittsburgh, and it never came up, it never came to London, to the stage all this time. So I said to my daughter, come on, this is you, this is your heritage, you got to see it. But we never really knew that much about my father's ancestry because for some reason they just didn't talk about it. And I went into this wonderful Facebook group called Seeking the Tribe, Tracing the Tribe, Your Jewish Roots. And after Fiddler on the Roof, I went in there and I just said, could anyone help me find my father's family maybe? We know that they're sort of Russian Pole. And Francesca, 3 hours later, I had everything I ever wanted to know about them. Is that amazing?
Wow. Yes, I've got to go in there. And so you are so making me laugh about Fiddler on the Roof. I loved it when it came out of the movie all those years ago with Topol.
Yeah, it's really a lot of people's history. They don't, you know, and we only surmise because they kept saying, well, every time, you know, there was a war, Russia became Poland or it became some other thing. And my father, you know, it's very interesting. I don't know why this is when people leave the old country. They don't talk too much about what happened back then or who they left behind. And especially with the Jewish roots, very difficult times, whether it was the pogroms or the Nazis, you know. And so it was great to share this information with my family. They were absolutely delighted to hear it. You know, that we got my great grandfather's name. Even my grandfather's name wasn't his real name.
Incredible.
So they do a thorough job. So big shout out to the ladies. They are all professional geologists. So, I mean, go for it. That's my gift everyone tonight. They'll probably be in it. But seeking your roots is so important. And you were talking about your roots in Wales as well, which we'll get to. So let's begin at the beginning. I always find that's the best place to start. Tell us about how you began your spiritual journey. What happened? Or even in your childhood, what were the events that said to you, I really want to sort of pursue this, or what happened to create that awakening that this is something different. I'm different in some way. Do you know what I mean?
I think so. That's a really interesting question. I haven't been asked before. And so I don't know how I'm going to answer that. But I remember as a kid, I was quite a loner. And I didn't used to like going to school very much. And so I would try and get off school as much as possible and just sit in my room playing Monopoly with myself, right? And I remember how I used to think I could hear somebody talking to me, calling my name from behind a cupboard that just actually was right by an outside wall, something like 30 feet up from the ground. So there couldn't have been a person there. And I remember saying to my mum, I think somebody is there. And she said, oh, no, don't be silly, darling. Of course there isn't. And I think that was a prompt to me, even though I closed my mind to it. I just believed her. I think there's always been this sense that what if there had been somebody calling my name? Because I can remember the whisper. I can remember my name being whispered out, you know. And then I found that I used to daydream a lot. and I am a dreamer. And I used to dream that I was a princess who could fly. And mainly I wanted to fly because I wanted to be very naughty at school and not get into trouble because they wouldn't be able to catch me. But I think that if I look back at that, that need to be magical, my real desire to find Narnia, like I would cry myself to sleep at night because my dad told me that Narnia didn't actually exist, it was just made up. And I found that an incredibly distressing concept, that I couldn't walk through into another realm where I could talk to animals and trees and nature. So I think that that sense of communion was something that I always wanted, but I battled most of my time because I'd been told very clearly it was unreal, that it didn't exist. So it took me a long time before I ever really started exploring anything more spiritual, if that's the word.
Well, so, okay, that's fair enough. You had an experience, which is what, and maybe many experiences, and I think that's what happens. Children are born psychic. Some of them are wide awake, and some of them slowly wake up, and some of them are forced awake by events that, whether positive or tragic, you know, can happen. And I think I like to ask my guests, you know, where did it begin for you? Because there'll be 90 kabillion, one hopes, listeners out there, or maybe 10, who say, well, this is going on in my life, or this is going on in my child's life. What should I do about it? And you know, I'm very concerned about that. So I would like my guests, all my wonderful and wise guests, all many of them have these experiences. Many, 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 you know, probably 99.9%. So that's my method to the madness of asking that question. And it helps one person, you know, it's a great thing. So Francesca, so okay, so this is very interesting. So then what happened? Take us to the next step. I'm not near the beach. I'm in London, and you can hear the seagulls here for some time.
You might be able to hear the seagulls in the background here, actually, but I am by the sea.
Okay.
Yes, well, it took me a long time. I wanted everything to be different, but life wasn't different. And I found that I couldn't settle. I had a place at university. I didn't want to go. I wanted to travel and meet people. I wanted excitement. But I think fundamentally, I didn't know how to fit in, but I didn't know where else to go or be or explore. I spent some time with a friend of mine playing on the Ouija board. That was something that she used to do and introduced me to it. And that was very scary. I didn't really like it. I didn't know whether I believed it, but I could feel the planchette or whatever it's called underneath my fingers moving around. But I don't think we should have been playing with that really. But it gave me this sense that maybe there was more than this solid reality we're told to believe is all there is. And then, what happened? Oh, my mum has a habit of buying me at least one book at Christmas. And she bought me one of Shirley MacLaine's books. When, I mean, I was about, I don't know, over 30, I think, by this point. She bought me a book called Out on a Limb by Shirley MacLaine. And that was part of Shirley MacLaine's spiritual exploration. And it was in that book that I started to learn about channeling. Mm. And, you know, and there's like, oh, wow. And I learned about the Seth material, this extraordinary body of channeled material. And I found the books quite magically, unexpectedly, in this very strange shop in the heart of Plymouth, and devoured them. And that was really what opened me into the realm. And I went, okay, now I need to know more. Now I want to play and explore. So I started then doing courses of different kinds that would open me up to the possibilities of this bigger, vaster world, you know. Yeah.
Amazing. I can concur with the Seth material. I have books up by Jane Roberts, and I also have one of my students gave me even though I already knew kind of the story, I was already teaching, but gave me Shirley MacLaine's book, and it was a real sweet gift to me. I love that he gave me that, and I love that in a time, see, people, I don't know who's what age group is listening. Let's hope it's all ages, but this is what Francesca's talking about, and myself, is a time when these things weren't talked about. These things were hush hush, you're crazy, how dare you talk like that, what are you talking about? You know, this was not everyday conversation like it can be today. Today, you know, if you mention, yeah, you're into spirituality, people don't bat an eyelash. But if you had said it 35 years ago, which is when you're talking out on a limb, came out, I think, in the early 1980s. Must have been 86. Was it 86?
I'm not sure, but it must have been around that time.
Yeah. So, you know, people were just beginning. Louise Hay just wrote You Can Heal Your Life and published it. And, you know, this was just, although the Edgar Cayce material was around, right? Even that was, this is just, you know, it's, and of course we have here in Great Britain, we have the wonderful, you know, Sir Arthur Conan Doyle, who bequests us everything to do with the Spiritualist Church. And, you know, I think, you know, so here in the UK, it was probably more accepted than it was even in America. So I'm very grateful when I meet people who have walked that path. I think it's a very difficult path. It's not easy. You have to have really a brave heart to do it. And So there's a couple stories there. So carry on. Tell us more. More, more, more. What happened after that? You have a wonderful quote. Go on.
Oh, I'm intrigued by the wonderful quote. I guess that, you know, like you're saying, that was very, very early on in this kind of exploration. And so it was hard to talk to people. And I did find that, you know, what was fascinating me was not fascinating many people that I knew. You know, they thought I was weird, you know, or all the words that many of us have got used to being called. And so I had to hide a lot of it. And I did have this enormous ambivalence between really wanting to follow this path and being fitting in my world. Yeah, I mean, in this world, the mainstream world. And so I didn't do either terribly well. So I kept trying to start businesses that would enable me to create an income, but I wanted to create businesses around things that I loved. I just could not get my head around this idea of working for a living doing something I didn't love. I just couldn't bear that. So it was a very challenging time. So I set up a domestic employment agency in something like 1989, which was so mainstream. You know, I set it up with a friend of mine who became my business partner, and we sent nannies and mothers' helps into different wealthy households across Europe and actually around the world. Yeah, yeah.
That's
so
a big...
We got well paid for that.
I'm putting some information about you in the YouTube. If you hear me typing, that's what I'm doing for the YouTube chat room, okay? But keep going. So that's quite... Well, that's quite interesting and quite brave and also quite profound, because, you know, even just, you know, even to find a decent babysitter or a nanny who you can trust with your child is like finding a needle in a haystack. You know, that's a great service in itself, right?
And it was. And we had a very high level of service ethos. And we became, you know, well known in that field. We had a very good reputation, but it didn't satisfy me. Once we'd got it off the ground and it was working, it's like way too mainstream, you know, and challenging in lots of different ways. you know, a lot of people out there who are difficult to satisfy when it comes to staff. And I won't go into that, but I don't, you know, some of them might be listening and I wouldn't want to say anything, but it was, I couldn't stay in it for more than about 9 years. That was enough. And then we sold it well. I was really, really happy with how we sold it. And I moved down to a little cottage on the edge of Dartmoor. And I thought, now I start playing. I've got a little bit of money in the bank. And now I can start playing. And I wanted to set up a flotation tank. Have you ever been floating, Sean?
No, but I know people have. And that's amazing. That's also been... I think I did go into one many in the 90s somewhere. I think I actually did go into one.
It was right at the beginning of that,
too. Yeah, I did. In the 1990s, I think, you know, London has some great, it doesn't have the sanctuary anymore, but we used to go to the sanctuary. It was a really gorgeous spa, and I think they had one in there, and that's where I went. Yeah.
Yes, I think they did. I think they did. And it was right at the beginning of flotation tanking. And of course, you know, that was quite cutting edge. But I didn't get planning permission, and I'd already put it in. I'd spent all the money on it, and I didn't get planning permission to run it as a business. And that was really the beginning of me discovering that setting up my own business wasn't always as easy as it had been before, particularly as I was going into the more alternative scene and setting businesses up like that. So, I'm trying to remember things. So I did that, and that didn't work financially, although loads of people came and floated in there and had wild experiences of out-of-body experiences and, you know, lots of different things. But what I discovered about myself was that even though I was so passionate about exploring different realms, I found it very difficult to allow myself to. And so I would often close myself off from the most profound experiences myself. And I'd end up experiencing them vicariously through other people. So it's very frustrating for me. And then it was, I guess I just played with how can I create a living doing stuff I love? And so... what did I do next? Oh, I was a facilitator for a course called the Avatar Course. I did that for a while.
That rings a bell too. The Avatar. I did EST. Remember EST?
I know of it. I knew of it. I never experienced it though. But Avatar came after EST, I think, didn't it?
Right. I did it in LA. I didn't know what the hell I was getting into. Somebody sort of pushed me in. There's a lot of noise going on in my house. Let me shut this door. And I was, what the hell? What is this? But you know, after it was all said and done, it was very interesting. It really made me think, and I don't know how Avatar was, but tell us about it.
It was absolutely brilliant because it brought to life the concepts that Seth talked about in the channeled material.
Okay.
This idea that everything that we experience is our beliefs, and that it offered a toolkit of how to discreate beliefs, so to take a belief and get rid of it, and create the beliefs that you wanted that would then create the experience that you wanted.
Right.
I wasn't terribly good at it. I didn't feel that I had a handle on it, to be honest. And so I stopped teaching that because I didn't feel that I was good enough, I guess. That I hadn't embodied it enough to really share. So my search continued. I set up a group of entertainers doing tarot reading and palm reading in the corporate world, at corporate parties, product launches, that kind of thing. So I learned tarot reading, I learned a little bit of palm reading, and we got together a great team of people. And they went all over London, all over the UK. Some of them went abroad. Sometimes we had really amazing, amazing trips. And that was an extraordinary thing. I mean, what a way to hone your intuitive skills than by doing unbelievably short readings, one after the other, in an environment where it's really loud and everybody's drunk.
Oh, my God.
It makes me focus.
I could relate completely. I started working at Mysteries in 1985. I was there 15 years off and on, and they used to send us out to parties. So we used to go to these big corporate, like, advertising agencies, and 2,000 people, 200 people, and you read them bum, 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 one after another. Your head spins off your neck. And I do. Isn't that funny? We both have that now. I have to interrupt you, lovely thing, you gorgeous Francesca, you're so wide, interesting, and I don't even want to, but got to give the people what they need, which is probably our first break. We're 5 minutes over, so we need to go in there and just have a little song and a little pause.
Perfect.
And people can wet their whistle or do what they like. Now, I'm going to give you the choice. I have Forever Young by Bob Dylan, or I have When I'm 64 by the Beatles. What would you like?
Oh, Bob Dylan, please.
Okay. All right. Here we go. We'll be back with Francesca, the lovely, the wise, the amazing Francesca Cassini in 4 minutes and 58 seconds. Here we go. Bob Dylan, Forever Young.
May God bless and keep you always. May your wishes all come true. May you always do for others and let others do for you. May you build a ladder to the stars and climb on every rung. And may you stay.
Such a profound and wonderful song. Oh my God, do I love Bob Dylan. It's very interesting because, of course, Bob is the original baby boomer. And, you know, he's a little bit older, like the Beatles' age. And I have Colin Blunstone is in here with Old and Wise. We're going to be doing that song later. And, you know, a lot of these people, they're not going to be around much longer, you know. I'm not being negative. I hope they live to be 1,000. But, you know, the times are a-changing, you know. And I was saying this on my Facebook page. What happened to all the wonderful rebels of the 70s, the 60s, who were the Beatles, who were Bob Dylan, who were Neil Young, who were, you know, so many wonderful people, the women's livers who went out and marched and marched and marched, all the people who liberated racism in America and all over the world, you know, as much as they could all over the world. I think we have a time left here, what astrologers call, you know, the Pluto and Leo generation, which is, I'm at the tail end of it, but still I'm involved in it. And it is our commission, if you will. It is our mission to open up the beautiful creative energies that Pluto has, that Pluto and Leo has. But it's also extremely important to be involved in the caring of each other. You know, when World War II was Pluto in Cancer, it's hard to believe that because, you know, Cancer is so caring, and yet Pluto, destruction. And Pluto and Leo, what sprung from that? You know, the sunflowers, the daisies, the hippies, the peace, make peace, not love. I mean, sorry, make love, not war. And Francesca, you're in that time zone with me, you know, and that's why I love having you on the show. I love all the people come on my show, but particularly of this generation, you know, it was our choice to go out there and do something to help the world. It wasn't our choice. I take that back. It was our calling to do it. And yes, I think you're very much still doing it, aren't you?
I think I started doing it. I don't think I did it then. I didn't have any confidence in myself then. And I just felt that calling for a different kind of experience of life. But I didn't feel strongly that I could make a difference. Maybe I am like my mum says, which is a bit of a late starter.
Well, nothing wrong with that, you know. But, okay, so this brings me to this gorgeous quote of yours, right? This is taken from your website, which is all the W's, and we have two websites for you. We have https://. Francesca Cassini, which is spelled, I'll just spell it for my listeners, FrancescaCassini.com. And then we have the wonderful Silver Tent, which we're going to talk about in this as we come into this next hour. http://www.thesilver10. Don't forget to put the dot in. I've been reminded. Don't forget to put the dot in. thesilver10.com. And your book, your wonderful book. There's so much on your website, actually. I couldn't even get it all in, to be honest. But let me do the quote, and then we'll go back. So this is from The Silver Tent. It says, "We don't need to be activists to save the world. We only need to be ourselves, truly ourselves. Not the selves the media tells us to be, but our wild, wonderful, and wise elder selves." So you've completely answered my question. I put it out there yesterday on my Facebook page, very angry about the state of the world, and said, where are all the rebels? Where are all the healers? Where are the people who are, you know, fought in the 60s and 70s to change everything? We are these people. Where did they go? How come the world is in such a state? And weirdly enough, or synchronistically enough, you answered it with that quote.
Wonderful, wonderful.
Isn't that amazing?
Yes.
So just be yourself and bring yourself to the table and bring your love and your joy and your healing and your happiness and your support and your upliftment. And don't leave anyone out, especially women over 50, basically. Right?
Absolutely. And I so get how I have marginalized a lot of myself throughout my life. So, you know, when I make these, when I dream up these quotes, I'm talking to myself as well as everybody else, of course. And, you know, if we marginalize ourselves, then how can we bring our gifts to the world? How can we show up? And I really believe that, you know, because my work now is with women over 50, 60, 70, 80 and beyond, I really believe that we all have a gift worth sharing, that we have value and a message. And, you know, so my mantra is that we're valid and valuable with wisdom worth sharing. And that to me is such a powerful message, and it really excites me.
I was reading something, came up on my Facebook feed, and it was about these group of Chinese women. I don't know if you saw it. It was rather recent, sometime this past week, and it's all these Chinese women who have either no husbands or their widows just bought a house together, and they decided they're going to stay in this house together. They're all in their 60s and 70s, and they're going to stay there till they die. They don't want to go to some old nursing home or whatever. And I love that idea. I'll go there. I'm happy to be involved in something like that. I'm giving a shout out to my girlfriend Judy, my oldest, dearest best friend, Judy Shearsusser. If you're listening, so I see she might be. That might be us. We might just gather our clan, you know, a few good friends, and end up there, you know. And I think that's a great way for older women to live out the rest of their lives. Too many people in nursing homes.
Absolutely. And that's another whole aspect that is emerging out of the Silver Tent, because what happens there, and I might be leaping on, so stop me if I am, Sean.
No, go ahead. Go ahead.
Because I believe that we women are wild, wonderful, and wise, valid and valuable with wisdom worth sharing, I am creating the Silver Tent as a fertile soil for us to remember who we really are and what gifts we brought into the world with us, you know. And find ways of linking people up so that they can discover more about themselves and gaining confidence in sharing it. You know, they find a forum where they can say, I believe in this, and we don't shout them down, you know. And so I want to do a shout out to Siobhan A. Reardon, who found the Silver Tent a couple of years ago. And her vision is what you're talking about. It's a co-housing community to serve women over 50, spend the rest of their lives until they until they transition, whatever you want to call that dying bit,
right,
in a sacred way, you know, so where they can be served. So what we're creating is silver co-housing. We're exploring creating a cooperative co-housing community to serve women over 50. But we won't only have women over 50 there, because we'll all get old together and not be able to handle anything. So it's going to be multi-generational. But that Siobhan's passion and vision is to create this, and it's coming, it's being grown out of the fertile soil of the Silver Tent, which is absolutely astonishing.
So this leads me, excuse me, we were going on about, you know, what you know, the like really from the 30, what, so you were doing, let's go back and then we'll go forward. Okay, so let's finish, because okay, that's interesting too. You were doing the tarot readings and you created your, it was called Hocus Pocus, I see you wrote in the chat, right? Hocus Pocus,
yes.
Was the great, yeah, you were years before the movie, you know. you know, the movie with Bette Midler, Hocus Pocus, she's cut up Halloween, Three Witches. It's very funny.
Yeah.
If you don't know that, you must watch it. Go find it on YouTube. It's very funny, or Netflix or somewhere. But so let's talk about that. So you were doing this corporate stuff, making money, one hopes?
Yes, it's well paid if you do it enough. You know, they pay us as entertainers, as you might know. So you get paid much better than as a tarot reader, you know, normally. But it just depends on how much work you get. And we were just going up and up and up. We were doing some really fantastic events all around the world. We had a beautiful one lined up. And now this is it just past the millennium, right? And all of a sudden, I'm just getting ready to go on this incredible event abroad. There was something like 20 of us all going. We were going to have an incredible time and earn well. And I got a call saying, have you seen the news? And it was when the Twin Towers tragedy happened. And that took the bottom out of my work. People didn't really want what they considered fortune tellers at that point. They got really, really spooked by us going in there. So it stopped for me then, that kind of work.
That's very interesting, that really, because there was, I didn't know, I mean, that's really interesting. Did it stop because that, or was it,
well, that was, no, that's what I, that I mean, the timing was that, so the party that we were going to go to abroad was with a celebrity who lost somebody in the Twin Towers and cancelled his event. And then that was coming up towards the Christmas, wasn't it? And normally Christmas is our busiest time. And you could just see that people weren't spending as much money on happiness, I think, on celebrations. But what we saw was that the first entertainers, they were still putting on events, but just not as lavish at that particular time. And the entertainers to disappear at that point for us were the fortune tellers. And that's what the agents told us, is that they didn't want fortune tellers there. And I mean, it didn't end for everybody. There were other groups of tarot readers that came onto the scene. And then they started undercutting prices, and it all became a very different ball game, and one that I didn't want to participate in any longer.
Fair enough. I can understand. I know we had a lot of competition too, and we had a lot of people who were terrible at it, and they were pretending to be great at it, and a lot of people weren't psychic at all, making it up as they go along. Well, you know, this is in every category. Even I worked as a nurse, and some of the nurses were you wouldn't want to put your worst enemy in their care, you know, and doctors too. Doctors especially, my God, don't let me get started there. And so, you know, I do understand that. So, okay, so you moved away from that, and then what happened next? Where'd you go next?
I think I was living in London at the time, and I think that's when I set up the magazine on conscious living. So I think what has become clear to me throughout my life, and certainly in hindsight, is how I like to share my message, whatever message that happens to be, is in a very light way to get underneath people's radar. So I don't often do things too seriously. I like to make it light. And so the magazine that I set up with my then boyfriend, who was an amazing artist and graphic designer, was to show people that you could live more consciously and more lightly on the planet. But we did it in a very quirky, lighthearted way so that nobody would feel that they were being force-fed this kind of information. And so we set up a free magazine in Greater London and sold advertising space in it. And we had an amazing time creating something that was really beautiful, very quirky, broke all the rules of how you should design a magazine because we didn't know the rules. And we did that for a couple of years.
Wow. That's the best way to create anything, not to make up your own rules, right? Let me take you so that, because the magazines were, and you're still doing, so tell us how this ties into today, because there is something else that you're doing in magazines, isn't it? You were an editor.
I'm not doing it anymore, but I was invited to be a founder editor of Conscious Traveler magazine about 4 years ago. But magazine publishing is just so challenging. And the nitty-gritty of that is not what I love. I love creating the content, and I love, like you, I love spotlighting inspiring people. And if I can do that, then I will do it through any medium. But what I'm not particularly good at is the nitty-gritty of creating that medium. I need other people to do that bit for me.
See, it's so hard. I agree so much with what you're saying. The ideas just flow and they come very quickly, but the technical stuff is very challenging. I don't know if it's our age. My daughter, she probably whipped through it in 3 minutes, but she can't sit down long enough to show it to me. You know what I mean? She rescued one thing of mine this week. I have to say thank you, because the music, God, she said to me, Mommy, you can download this thing from the internet and it'll make all the music you want to play on your show into an MP3 in 3 seconds. I'm like, what? That saved me hours. And it used to come out sounding like tin, you know, and today it's not too bad, you know, so it's better. But okay, so Francesca, where are we? We're going to take another little break in about 3 minutes. So I want to go back and talk a little bit about what came first, Together We Rock or The Silver Tent?
Oh, The Silver Tent, definitely.
Okay. So let's take you, so you did this traveling thing, you were a writer for that and created the... What was it called?
Conscious Traveler magazine.
And then where did you go from there? Because I'm thinking, where are we now? 2000?
Oh, we're fairly recent now.
Okay.
We've come all the way through the decades. And this is one of my favorite bits of my life, and so therefore my story. So I ended up doing this bucket list tour to Peru with the owner of the digital magazine and the spiritual tour company that I was writing for. And I was so taken by the jungle, by the rainforest. It was not the heat, I'm rubbish in the heat, but the rainforest, the sound of that rain was unreal. And I was doing a week-long ayahuasca retreat at the time. And
my
it was
God.
A whole other story. But it was the sound of the rain. And I came back to England thinking, how can I recreate that? I want to recreate that sense of being so immersed in nature, in this really powerful nature. And I must have put that out as an intention, because the next winter on the 10th of November 2015, I think it was, I moved into an off-grid yurt on a wild Welsh hillside alone for 4 months during the wildest, wettest winter on record in Wales. I mean, I didn't know it was going to be so wild and wet, but it was. And I was still working online, so I had to drive into town every day and work in a pub, not behind the bar, but plug into their internet, and I'd get a little corner in there. And then before it got dark, I'd drive back to my yurt and light my wood-burning stove and cook my stew in one pot on the top. And it was an awesomely frightening for me and awesomely magical time. And that was a massive turning point in my life.
Wow. So is that where... So, okay, there's a lot in there I could talk about. I think what we'll do, we'll pause again. I just have to do my thing here and take a little breaky-poo and we'll musical break. Folks, please call in. If you want to talk to Francesca, we will take your calls. Call-in number is 858-956-3204. If you're outside the United States, you can call 001, and that'll connect you to, that's the code for the US of A, and then you get, again, 858 is the area code. That is San Diego, California you're calling, 956-3204. I'd love to hear anyone out there want to call in and talk. We have a half hour left of the show, and actually, it's more like 20 minutes. Okay, because I'm going to play a song, and then we have my in this moment at the end. So I love this song, and we're talking about older people, and I've played this before on the show many years ago. I'm going to have to play it again. It's Old and Wise by the Alan Parsons Project, sung by the Zombies lead singer, Colin Blunstone. Here we go. 4 minutes and 50 seconds. It's gorgeous. If you listen to the words, you know, it is absolutely gorgeous song. Here we go.
Share my darkest doubts. I'm with you when I go.
Just a beautiful song. God, play that at my funeral is what I say. Not to be morose, come on. But I just love that song. I love the words of it. And as we move into our 60s, our 50s, let's talk about menopause. Let's talk about 40s, 50s, 60s, 70s for women. You know, it's really tough for women of that age. I used to walk down the street and every head would turn. And I'm not kidding you. That was my life until I hit about 40-something. And when I hit about 45, closer to 50, yeah, that stopped. It really got, and now, rarely happens. Rarely happens. And I'm still the same person. So, I mean, you know, it's really funny that women are so, I think, ferociously judged. And they're judged not only on their looks, which is horrible, but, you know, how young can they look in their 50s and 40s and 70s and 80s and 90s? Why do we have to look like we're 20 years old when we're 60? Why do we have to look like we're 60 years old when we're 90? You know, why can't we celebrate every single age we are? And this goes for young women who are so in a hurry to grow up. It's ridiculous. You got 14-year-olds, you know, having sex and, you know, just it's, you know, be a teenager, be a young person when you're young and allow the process of aging, which should be a glorious process, not a miserable one. And I wanted to ask Francesca about this. You know, what do you think about what I just said? How do you
think?
Oh,
I think, yes, Sean, I think it's such a big question, isn't it? That
yeah.
I think that when we get to that older space, how we can't rely any longer, if we did before, on our external aspect. It's like it just
yeah.
doesn't work anymore. And I think that we're really called to go deeper, to find our own beauty, our true beauty, and let that shine through. And you know, and that's hard because we're not taught that. We're taught how external everything is. And so I think it's a very profound time. And if I'd realized I was menopausal when I was menopausal, I just thought I was in a dysfunctional relationship and falling apart, which I was, but I was also menopausal. If I'd known that, maybe I would have recognized it as a rite of passage. But I now see it as a rite of passage, and I really feel that all of us have a huge well of wisdom that we can access through that journey of menopause. I think it's not this illness that it's being described as by the mainstream medical fraternity, but it is a rite of passage, and it's powerful, and we can really rock that power when we own that our journey through menopause, I think.
Well, this is a really, see, this brings up something also profound, that the Silver Net is a group of women come together, probably postmenopausal, would you say?
We have still quite a few who are perimenopausal and menopausal, but I think on the whole, we're post.
Yeah. And this place, you know, if you go, I mean, in my 20s and 30s, I did a lot of traveling and I lived in different countries and it was great. It was a great experience. I never forgot it. And, you know, so we're talking about the 70s, right? We're talking about prior to everything we have today, you know, transportation is practically, you know, you just zip and you're there. And I was coming from America. I was flying to Greece. I lived in Israel. I lived in Italy. I lived in Cyprus, you know, and each one of these Mediterranean countries have the old people dressed in black, women, hunched over from years and years of servitude, right? And, you know, they're dressed from head to toe in black. And, They're really washed up old crinkled crones, and that's about it. And what a waste. I remember looking at this as a young woman and saying to myself, why do they do this? Why do they dress like that? Why do they... you understand what I'm saying, right, Francesca?
Yes.
If you go to any of these old countries, and in some of them they still do it. Some of them it's still happening in Greece and Italy and wherever. And women are vibrant and alive till the day they die. And then their soul moves on and it's still very much alive. So I can't understand the mentality, except it is the patriarch mentality.
Mm.
And the patriarch mentality says, women, you're still chattel. We still own you, and we're going to tell you how to live and how to look and how to act and how to behave and how to dress. And when you get old and that's too ugly for us, we're going to shove you away in a closet somewhere and we'll never think about you again. And that's what nursing home. It's true, you know, and I want to talk to you about this because it's very important that women do not see themselves like. They allow themselves to be beautiful at every age they are and think of themselves that way. And, yes, Francesca.
Yes, I think that's why being a community of women over 50 is so vital. Because that's where we get the mirroring. You know, if we're on our own, and, you know, some of us or some women over 50 are fine. They already know who they are and they're in their power, but a lot of us don't. And so to spend time in a community, even if it's online, where you get people, other women mirroring back to you your gifts and your amazingness and your beauty, then you start to go, okay, maybe. And I find now that when I look at older women's faces, I can immediately see that glow, that beauty, that fun, that humor, that level of experience. And I'm more drawn now to communicating with women over 50 because I'm sorry to say, on the whole, I find them more interesting than younger.
Well, there's nothing wrong with that. I agree with that completely. I find women my age or around this age group have lived a life, and if they haven't, shame on them. You know, this is what it's about. Or if they haven't, come on, girl. Now it's your time to live your life, right? And that's the other thing. So tell us what happens. I know that I'm going to guide you to the good old super tent. So is it a physical place? Is it just a place on the web? How does it work exactly? Do you sign up? Do you pay membership? How does it work? Tell us all about it.
Yeah, thank you.
You're welcome.
The Silver Tent was born out of this, partially out of the concept that coming out of 4 months over the winter out of the yurt, I realized that I was more than I thought I was, that I was hugely resourceful. And I started really contemplating the sense that women over 50 and postmenopausal have this intrinsic wisdom and value. And through going on a fascinating shamanic retreat, I it's like I opened up to something that I think is my birthright. It's like, it does feel like a destiny kind of thing. And so the Silver Tent sort of emerged out of nowhere, but fully formed. And it started as an online community on Facebook. And we have the free group on Facebook, which is facebook.com/thesilvertent. And it's the group, not the page. So we congregate there. And we've got over 6,200 women in there, which is pretty good. We've only been going just about 2.5 years. Yeah. And that's a really wonderful serving space for women to reflect back to each other and really start to own their magnificence, you know, that we're worth something, that we don't have to retire unless we want to, that we have something very profound to offer the world. And some people might, some women might only be called, well, forget the word only, some women might be called to share their wisdom with their grandchildren, and others might be called to share their wisdom in their community or in on a global stage, and all of it's right. It's whatever is right for us as an individual. And I also have a membership part of the community, which is called Silver Synergy, for those women who want to be part of a more intimate community and to really progress with their sense of working and playing within a conscious, co-creative, collaborative space. And so what happens in there is the generosity of spirit and heart is quite extraordinary, and it's a more fertile ground, if you like, because it's more focused around women and what around the members and what they want to achieve in their lives and what they want to grow, whether that's on a personal level or a professional level. And more we're beginning to create meetups on the ground in reality. So we've had quite a few of those, and they are absolutely wonderful. It's like we're really meeting kindred spirits. And you know, there's something beyond what people are experiencing in their own villages or, you know, part of town or wherever. There's something really different when we meet. And I think it's because there is this kindred spirit kind of energy. So really... really something. It can be incredibly intense, but massively rewarding. And we set up retreats and we do workshops, both on and online, on and offline. And now, of course, the Silver Co-housing is growing out of that. So then we'll have a village where real people can live on the ground, in the land, and grow their own food and share their wisdom and live the way that we really want to live, which is close to nature, communing with nature. So very exciting.
God, I'm in. Sign me up. Where do I go to sign up? I'm sure my daughter will be relieved to know that. I'm going to have to take care of you when you're old. Well, maybe not.
Well, what's happening, Sean? If I just want to share this little bit, is one of the things that makes the Silver Co-housing unique is that most co-housing communities are created with people who have financial resources.
Right.
And many of us don't have financial resources. So what Yvonne wanted to do was to look at how we could create a community where we didn't have to have the financial resources. How could we buy a property and have our homes without having to have our own money? And she's done the research and she's found that we can do that through this cooperative structure. And so once we have this in place, then we're going to create a kind of template so other women around the world can also set up their own co-housing project, their own co-housing village, and start changing the way that they live and die.
See, this is so needed. It's so beautiful. The whole concept from beginning to end is absolutely, I know many of my girlfriends are saying the same thing, like, what's going to happen to me, you know, when I can't get to... And a lot of people our age, you know, you already have physical problems. No one's exempt, you know. You could be an athlete and still have arthritis, you know. It's important that we, you know, my mother just died this February. She was 94. My mother was an actress, a dancer. She was a choreographer. She was beautiful. She was stunningly beautiful, my mother. And she... did everything in her power to not get dementia, but she got dementia. And whether it was the year she was, you know, the time she was born and the way she smoked, like a lot of people in her age group, And you know, she died in a nursing home. The thing she absolutely begged me when I was training as a nurse, don't ever put me in one of those. And I said, I've been to them. I'm working now as a nurse in them. You know, it was in my training, and I promise you, I will never do it to you. But you know, it's a great promise, but it couldn't last. You know, I wasn't even, I live 3,000 miles away. My daughter's in school here. I can't just go home to Pittsburgh and take care of her. She had to leave Florida, which she loved. She loved Florida. That was her favorite place in the world for 35 years. And she ended up in a home in Pittsburgh where my other siblings could watch and take care of her. And it was, I personally think I would rather, you know, die a miserable death than that. That is the worst way to go. Even though it was a beautiful place and very expensive, my brother took care of it. In the end, you know, nobody wants to get a soul. Why would a soul ever want to live like that? So,
yes.
I think being around people you love, who love you or care about you, who have a connection to you, who you trust, and there is communal, you know, sort of communal like-mindedness.
Yes. And what I bring to that community concept is that we are wise women with wisdom worth sharing. So we're not just saying you can be looked after here.
Yeah.
But you can be cherished here, and you can continue to be valuable. And I think that makes the most enormous difference, or it does to me. you know, maybe that's been my struggle all my life, feeling valuable. You know, it might be about that. But you know, when everybody's value is witnessed and appreciated and used, then suddenly how we feel about being in the world changes, doesn't it? And then if we can have that cherishing around that, where we're seen. I mean, you know, we are wise elders. Like, why would it only be Indigenous wise elders that are wise elders? That doesn't make sense to me. To me, this is our birthright. It's in our DNA to be wise elder women being of value. And if we can combine that, ideally offline, but online as well, into a community where we experience that value, but we're also served as we age, then I just think that's a beautiful combination and a powerful one.
And Francesca, on that note, believe it or not, our time's up. Can you believe how fast it went? Oh my God. I just have enough time to finish up the things for the show and play us out with a gorgeous song. But let me just reiterate. This is the wonderful and wise Francesca Cassini. Her website, please go and check it out, www.thesilvertent.com. Also, her personal website, which is francescacassini.com. And her book, say the title of your book again.
Together we rock.
Together We Rock. And together we rock this interview, Francesca. It was fantastic to have you on the show. And please come back anytime. Anytime you
like. I'd love to talk to you again, too.
You're so welcome. Now, folks, I'm just going to say two things quickly I have to do in this metaphysical moment, and we're going to play out with a gorgeous song. You know, John Lennon, God bless his cotton socks, he could not live this song with Yoko. He wrote it, and he was killed not long after. It's called Grow Old With Me, but it's this time I love Mary Chapin Carpenter. She's a beautiful singer, and I thought it was more appropriate, really, to have a woman sing it. So that's the song we're going out with. I'd like to thank Francesca, and I'd like to thank Crystal Bowl Gretna, which is Sue in our chat room, keeping us company today. Thank you very much for coming in, and we want to see everyone back here next week. Wear my same time, same place, and watch me again on live on YouTube. And next week, our astrologer, Isaac George. So if you're into astrology, lots of stuff going on in the heavens right now, please do come and join us. Bring your charts, and you can call in and talk to my guest. And it leaves me to do the In This Metaphysical Moment, and this is it. Here we go. The Goddess. When she calls you, she will not be ignored. Her voice can be a whisper or a clean, clear shout. She asks nothing from you. She has not done herself. But she makes you see who you really are, what you are. Inside each woman is a beautiful goddess giving birth to herself. She may be the Aphrodite type, filled with beauty, compassion, and passion. With beauty, creativity, and passion. Or the Athena type, filled with wisdom, strategic in her thought. Perhaps she is deeper, darker, like Kali or Persephone, queen of the underworld, destroyer of the old, refreshing to give birth and resurrect the new. Her marriage is sacred to her if she is Juno or Hera, no matter what. The quiet, meditative goddesses like Hestia or Vesta offer a sacred space to pray. The determined, skilled, and intuitive goddess is Artemis, who hunts by the moon. Perhaps she is Gaia herself, Demeter, Ceres, known to some, mother of all mothers, helping us to learn caring, nurturing, feeding our children and families and the world. And what of the visionary goddesses, those whose very essence is here to enlighten? Do we discard them because they have aged, or shall we embrace the years of service and experience they have lived, like a walking book of knowledge filled with psychic powers, visions, and powerful connections to the divine? Isis, Cassandra, Psyche, or Hecate, goddess of the cross, known as Janus too. In this metaphysical moment, I cannot deny the goddesses within me any longer. I am filled with their wisdom, their gifts of intuition, love, compassion, spirituality, bravery, skill, and determination. And as I age, like a ripened wine given from the god Bacchus, each goddess within becomes more seasoned, more ripe, and juicy. I allow all my goddesses to come out and play, and I revel in their beauty, skill, and knowledge forever. The divine feminine is within us all, just waiting for an invitation to come out and play and be connected to you. So welcome her, all your inner goddesses, and be healed and whole and happy. And there we go. Done before they shut us off. I'm going out with this beautiful song. Thank you, Francesca Cassini and thesilvertent.com. And here we go. Grow Old With Me by John Lennon, sung by Mary Chapin Carpenter. Bye. See you next week, everyone.
Grow old along with me. The best is yet to be. When our time has come, we will be as one. God bless us.
Stunningly beautiful song, and sung so gorgeously by Mary Chapin Carpenter. Folks, we're all going to get old, God willing, so we need to take care of each other. And the Silver Tent for many, many women across the world. Wow, what a great way to go. I want to thank my beautiful guest, a goddess herself, Francesca Scassini. And we'll see you all next week, same time, same place, with astrologer Isaac George. And God bless. Goodbye. Take care. See you then. Bye now.